last week. Well, actually, let me start with this week. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck in a dark valley. That was kind of our message as we got started last week. It'll be our message as we move forward. Last week, we looked particularly at what it means for us to be kind of trapped in this COVID-19 era that has led so many of us to feel the sense of being stuck in a dark valley of fear and of anxiousness and of irritation. And also, last week, we looked at it and said, well, what is God doing here in the midst of it? I would highlight for you, for those who weren't here last week, we touched on three things that came out of Psalm 23, verse 4, as a way to recognize that there are three things to hold on to as we walk through dark valleys like a pandemic. The three things we highlighted last week was from Psalm 23, where it says, even though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In that short little text, we saw that the fact is that we will all walk through dark valleys. It's part of what it means to be human. That is not a surprise. It doesn't say if you walk through dark valleys, but it says even though you walk through dark valleys. We will walk through dark valleys. And in that, number two was that God walks there with us. Remember, it says, I will fear no evil, because why? Because you are with me. There is something very profound about knowing, even in the midst of dark times, God is there with us. And number three was this, that God is active and not passive. So often we think that God is going to be passive in the midst of our dark valley, or we feel that God is distant or not listening in the midst of our dark valley. But the fact is, again, from Psalm 23, it says, for your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. And those were active tools for the shepherd in this illustration. And active tools mean the shepherd is being active. He's got a rod for protection. He's got a staff for guidance. He's got a way to encourage his flock and keep them safe, even in the midst of this dark valley that we are walking through. But that was last week, and I want to continue on as we move into this week. This week, we want to look and say that we're still in valleys like this, not just COVID-related, but all kinds of valleys come with crisis attached to our lives. And sometimes we feel stuck, not so much by what's happening around us, but sometimes we are stuck simply because of what's going on within us. There are external reasons that we often feel stuck, as well as internal reasons, and we're going to look at some internal reasons, both today, next week, and the following. Events that, as we run up against crisis, how is it that we begin to be affected? You know, we're all feeling a little shut in. We're all feeling a little cut off. Those who are unable to go to school or go to work, that's normal, because all of our normal social is cut away from us. But even those who continue to be working and find that life is just so weird, they have to go to work, and maybe they don't care to go to work, or maybe they're happy to go to work, but everything else is weird around them. You know, we find this is a commonality, no matter which situation you find yourself in, that everyone is becoming a little more irritable, everyone's becoming a little quicker to get discouraged, and everyone's becoming a little quicker to flare with anger. Even if those around you who receive that anger had nothing to do with causing that anger in the first place. Now, this is partly due to this virus problem, partly due to the sense of being cooped up and the irritation that comes, but it also has to do with another problem I want to call an eye problem. No, not a vision problem, not something you could get and change your glasses and make it better, but an eye problem, speaking of the capital I. As we look at the world and we see that as humans, we are by nature self-centered, and everything comes to us through this self-centered lens. This was kind of fun. Actually, I just saw it this morning on the way to church. Actually, when I arrived at church this morning, someone in our church family posted something last night. Said, my husband and I play this fun game during quarantine. It's called, Why Are You Doing It That Way? And there are no winners. Now, I'm going to keep this person anonymous, because I don't want you to flood her Facebook posts with things. But it is one of our church's pastor's wives. And I'm not going to tell you who it is, but her name begins with Lori. Okay? So I'll let you figure that out from there. But as I began to read down the post, I thought this was just hilarious, because obviously we're all playing the same game. Michelle said, what? That's our game. Kelly said, I'm sure a lot of people are playing that game. Patty said, there's always my version. Get out of the way and I'll do it. I like that version. And then Joe posted, we must be doing it wrong. We started playing, guess which knife I'm going to stab you with. Wow. Okay, Joe, I hope you're listening this morning because I hope we have something we can share a little bit about. But again, what is it that causes us to be so upset, so irritable, so easy to point the finger or quick to clap at the other person? It's because we have this virus, and it's not the coronavirus. It's this self-centered human being virus called that we all see the world through the lens of our own two eyes, and we all want things to go our way. We think that we are normal and everyone else is the problem. Have you ever noticed that? And again, this works out not just in pandemics. It works out at all times that we do this. We look around the world and we're driving down. Remember this? Phil, do you remember driving down the freeway? There's a freeway right out here, Highway 99. You ever drive down 99 and everybody who passes you, say they go ripping by you, what do you think? They're crazy. Those are nuts. They're driving like a madman. Or if you come up on somebody and they're not going as fast as you are, even if they're going the speed limit, what do we say? They're crazy. They're driving like a lunatic. Get off the road. You're making me nuts. It's always the same. Whatever we do, we normalize it. We think that is the norm. And whatever anybody else does, we think is the problem. Because we see the world only through the lens of our own small, selfish little world. And it works itself out in times of pandemic. Say you're one of those who is anxious about this virus. You're concerned about the threat, and then you see people on the TV who are out protesting, and you get angry because they're up next to each other, not wearing masks, they're not social distancing, and we get angry at them and saying, they're not taking this seriously. They're the problem. Or maybe you're one of those other people on the other side of this who are anxious about getting back to work again, and you understand the risks, and you feel restricted, and you will get upset because you hear about the restrictions not being lifted, and people seem to be putting more and more restrictions on you, and we get angry at that, and we say, they're the problem. It's our issue that we all have, that we look around and say, if I'm not happy, then somebody else must be to blame. And we get stuck there. We get stuck. It's always the other person's fault. It's always what they're doing that keeps me away from that place of happiness that I think I somehow deserve to have. And we can fall off on either side. You know, there's both sides of the same selfish coin. But we get a chance to see things only through the way we understand how the world is supposed to work. So this isn't just in times of crisis, and I think it's true that it's not just in times of crisis. We are human at all times, and so we all have this tendency to fall into this trap of seeing the world through this lens that says what I'm doing is right and what I'm doing should come my way, and somehow if anyone gets in the way or if things don't go away, I'll find somebody to blame, which is exactly why the Apostle Paul wrote in the letter to the Philippian church, encouragement for all believers to live by, whether in times of pandemic or not, or any other time. Whenever there is an opportunity for us to find ourselves in a dark valley, or even in the times when we find ourselves celebrating on mountaintops, Paul wrote these words. And again, I'll pick up in chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Paul said, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather in humility," hear this, "rather in humility value others above yourselves. Do nothing to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." That's verses 3 and 4. I'll pick it up in verse 5 in a moment, but let me just break that down a bit for us. As we look around in the world around us, we all have the opportunity to do exactly what Paul is saying. And we can see people, we hear on the news, we know friends who are doing this, people working in healthcare professions, first responders, those who are working in environments where there's filled with a threat of the virus out there. You know, it's one thing for me. I recognize, I can say, well, I'm going to go to the office. And you know what? I can go to the office and feel very secure because there's nobody else going to be there. But some people, when they go to work during the day, they are going to a place where they know they will be surrounded with sick folk. and maybe some of them will have the coronavirus, and we don't know who. That is just an environment that is just by its nature a threat, and yet people are going and doing this work. They are doing exactly what Paul says, nothing out of selfish ambition, nothing out of vain conceit, rather in humility, valuing others above themselves. We have that opportunity now, not just healthcare workers, not just first responders, but all of us have this opportunity to find ways of putting others before ourselves rather than getting into this place where we feel cooped up and therefore want to lash out at everybody around us because we're not happy. We need to look for ways to begin to find ways to value others first rather than tearing at them. A couple of weeks ago, we've talked about this before here. I know you've been dealing with it at home. Maybe even a month ago, we had the challenge of finding toilet paper. Do you remember those days? And it wasn't because the ability to produce toilet paper had been diminished. It wasn't because the supply chain from producer to market was cut off. No, the whole point of why we had a hard time finding toilet paper was because people were not valuing others above themselves. But instead, people were looking out for number one. There was a sense of fear that if I don't get mine, there's not going to be enough. And if I was not enough and I don't get mine, then I'm going to be left out. And if I get left out, then I'm going to be upset and I'm going to be in a bad spot. And so I better grab it as soon as I see it. In fact, I better grab a bunch of it as soon as I see it. And so we began to fall into this pressure. And again, even for those who maybe weren't even so fearful, but when they would see others grabbing the paper, they would want to go and grab toilet paper themselves just to make sure, because it was fueled by that fear of not being certain, yes, but it fed into that I problem we have, that I better get mine. When we get under pressure, we always want what is best for self, and usually that selfish side kicks in, and it's not a pretty thing. Let me continue on. Verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, and this is where it comes back to that post from Lori, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Well, just a pretty high bar there. But that's what he invites us to. Who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Church, this is Paul's encouragement to all of us, is to say that Christ is our role model. Not only is he our Savior and our Lord, but he is also the one who models for us how it is we are to live in times of crisis, in the midst of dark valleys. That rather than looking at the world and saying, I need to somehow make sure I get what I need to get, that we need to look for ways to humbly serve. Rather than seeing somebody and saying, they're getting their way, when am I going to get mine? Which is what we usually say. Or seeing somebody and they're grabbing the toilet paper, what if I run out? Or you see on the internet, hey, look at their life, looks perfect on Facebook. Why is mine so terrible? Or they're getting along just fine, but nobody cares about my happiness. And letting all of those things, those irritations begin to grow and take hold so that we say, because I'm not getting mine, I'm not going to be happy. And because I'm not happy, no one around me is going to be happy. And it begins this cycle of everyone tearing up everyone. And if this pandemic had that effect, where we as a church, where we as communities did nothing but isolate and look only through our own lens and tear one another down and then fear getting back together again because someone has already torn me down, then somehow this is going to have a far worse effect than I pray that it will, because the antidote is here. The antidote to the things aren't going my way is right here. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Taking on the cross, making himself nothing, becoming a servant, and putting others before him. Here's the antidote. Again, I say it's not just the model of Christ, it's what the scripture tells us about our relationship with God. Here it is. This comes out of Psalm 23 again, this time out of Psalm 23, verse 1, where it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need." Hear that again. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. In fact, say that with me right there, wherever you're at. Whether you're here at church this morning or out in your home, I want you to say these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Now, if we can begin to say that, and if we can begin to believe that, even in the midst of crisis, even in the midst of lack, even in the midst of grief, even in the midst of despair, if we can begin to say those words, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. And if we can begin to believe that, because we have a shepherd who is looking after us, and because we have a shepherd who is looking after us, we don't need to be worried about all the other things we don't have. We can simply keep our focus here during this time of the crisis on the shepherd who gives us all we need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. In the shepherd's care, we have all we need. There is nothing more that we have, and that becomes the hope that we have, not only for ourselves, but for our communities and for the world around us. That knowing we have a shepherd, and we can rest in that having all our needs met through him, we can live in a different way than those who are compelled by this fear and driven by this insecurity, who have the sense of the lack which may come someday that is going to be continue to drive us and grind us into the ground. So how do we live as those who are aware that we have a shepherd and we have all we need? Reading a book, actually I wasn't reading the book, I was reading a quote actually from a great theologian from a long time ago, 14th century theologian. Her name was Julian of Norwich. Little interesting fact, she wrote the earliest surviving book in English language that was written by a woman. She lived in the 14th century. Of all the books written in English, this is the oldest that has been written by a woman, and it still exists today. It's called The Revelations of Divine Love. In that book, Julian says this, "The greatest honor that we can give Almighty God is to gladly live because of the knowledge of his love." I'll say it again. I wish I could put it up on the screen. I don't have it for you on the screen, but I love this quote. The greatest honor that we can give Almighty God. And maybe that'll be our goal this week. To say, I want to give God the very best I can give him. And what is it? Is to live gladly because of the knowledge of his love. How can we live gladly? Because we have a shepherd and I have all I need. You see how those two fit together. This idea of having a shepherd that gives me all that I have need for, all the other things that would clamor for my attention, that would get me discouraged or angry or put out, begin to fall away, and we can live gladly in that knowledge that not only we have a shepherd, but that shepherd loves us. This is good news, people. This is good news for your day today. This is good news for your week this week. This is good news for your life moving forward. This is good news for those who are in the midst of grief, those who are in the midst of crisis, for those who are in the midst of challenge. This is good news for those who are celebrating, who are marking birthdays and inviting young ones into their family, who are finding this time to be joy, even in the midst of our being separated. But if we hold on to this, we will be able to live gladly, because we know God's love for us. So, Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to live gladly, to look for the very many ways that you bring blessing to us and all the reasons that we would have to allow our hearts to sing and our lives to reflect your glory. So, God, we thank you for all the many ways that you surround us with blessing, but we thank you primarily for your son Jesus, for his being our shepherd, for the love that you extend through him to each of us and surround us, so that we too can say we have all we need. God, as we move into this week, help us to reflect on that, but also to respond to that by caring for one another and by allowing that love to be shared through us. In Jesus' name, amen.